IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We are so happy to be with you today. We are just happy to be alive. We've had a funny, funny experience.
As you know, we always start off with our what's happening to us today and yesterday.
And I have to preface this by saying that we have done 11 weddings, 9 of our own children and 2 that we kind of semi-adopted. And some disaster happened in every wedding.
Every single wedding.
I met with my friends. We decided we're going to write a book about crazy things that happen in weddings. But I think we've got one that takes the cake.
We got one
today.
That takes the cake. So we're having a wedding at our Bear Lake compound. We have a great big lawn, and people love to have weddings there. And this is our cute little niece who we love so much.
My brother's daughter.
And they're going to have quite a wedding, and it's going to be on that beautiful grass and on the beach and so on. And so we've been up here trying to get the place just in ship shape for them, and we were doing great until
we arrived on Thursday night and realized that there had been a herd of cows in our property
on the grass.
We don't know how long, maybe 2 or 3 days, because nobody's
pooping.
Been
can
there.
Can I say poop? Is that
yes,
okay?
Yes, that
today?
Is the exact description
and
of what happened.
It is unbelievable to me how much cows can poop. I mean, we call them cow pies. I think farmers used to, you know, throw them like a discus and see who could throw the furthest.
Yeah, when they dried out.
Once they dry out, they're pretty manageable.
Drying out was the problem.
To say the least, these were not dried out. And there were, I'm being conservative here, Linda, because sometimes Linda thinks I exaggerate, but this is an understatement. There were more than 50 big cow pies. And they were wet, and they were all over that lawn.
And so, little ones, they brought their babies and everything.
Oh, my gosh. I spent the whole entire day yesterday, and I mean the whole day. I didn't think I could walk by the time I was done. Scooping poop.
Scooping.
I guess that's what it was. And oh, my goodness. It was something. And we woke up this morning to find a couple of them had fought their way back in today. The whole place is fenced.
Well, they come in from the beach.
The problem is they come along the beach and come in.
And so it's been absolutely crazy. We tried to honk them away. We thought we'd got them away, but no. And there are people down there, and they still came this morning.
We called the sheriff, and the sheriff said, I'm trying. He said, we know who owns those cows, and they're kind of belligerent. They won't work with us very well. And I said, well, can't you do something? And they're like, well, we really can't because Idaho is an open range and they can come, and you sort of have to fence them out rather than the farmer fencing them in. And I'm like, whoa, wait, we're completely fenced in, but they go on the beach, which is public. We can't build a fence on the beach. And she was very sympathetic, this sheriff's deputy or whatever she was. She said, I'll try to call him again, but he's pretty belligerent. And I'm like, well, can't you put a little pressure on him? And she's like, well, I tried that. And he said, well, if you want 100 more, I can bring them on down. So I don't know what's going on, but we think it's okay. And bless her heart, this little bride and the groom, they're just terrific. They're like, oh, don't worry. It's part of being at Bear Lake.
She thought it was
so much
hilarious.
For cleaning all day long. She came after the worst of it was gone.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
But anyway, so we've had a grand adventure, and we hope that it ends soon.
Now, Linda, can we make the transition from the ridiculous to the sublime?
I think that's what we got to do right now. And don't worry, everything's going to work out all right.
We'll be fine.
So
they'll be fine.
Yeah, bless
the cows will be fine.
They're fine anyway.
But we really do want to make a big transition now, because what we had planned to talk about today is something extremely dear to our hearts, and we think extremely important. And so we want to really be careful how we get into this. And we're glad you're with us. And if what we talk about today is interesting to you, we hope you'll pass it on to other people, because we think this is something that there's a lot of upsides to thinking about it, even if we don't come to any firm conclusions, right, honey?
Yeah, which we don't have.
Yeah, it's mind expanding. And let me start off by asking Linda a question, which we get asked occasionally, sometimes often, depending on how much we're out and about and who we're with and whether we're doing a lot of speaking. But the question is, you know, from people who sort of know a little of our background, and they'll say, well, are you Mormons? And what do we usually say?
Yes, we're members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right. We clarify their real name.
We do, you know, it depends on how deep they are, what they have, but I think...
We say we clarify the name of the church, but then the next question usually is, are you Christian? And we try to be as emphatic as we can and say, yes, absolutely. And then the next question often is, well, what's the difference between your church and other Christian faiths? And that is an interesting question.
It is an interesting question. There are a lot of answers, a lot of reasons, but we do have to say, and we hope
what
that
are
there
some
are,
that you might
we
give.
Hope that there are people, some of you out there who are not members of our church. We know that we've gotten responses from some, and we so appreciate you being with us. But I think that we would say is just that we know more about where we're going and how our lives are going to work out in eternities.
We certainly don't know much, but we think there is some additional inspiration or revelation on that within our church. But don't you think often, Linda, we say, well, there's a lot of differences or a lot of, I mean, by far the most important thing is not a difference, but a similarity, the core similarity of our deep and complete belief in the Savior Jesus Christ. But we often say, but we also believe in living prophets on the earth today, which is pretty audacious. And we believe we have some additional scripture, not to replace the Bible, but to enhance or to verify or to go hand in hand with the Bible.
And we feel really that maybe one of the most important differences is we believe in eternal progress instead of eternal rest. I mean, it sounds like we do get a rest when we go to paradise for a while, but there are so many things that have been revealed that are so fascinating that makes us think that our spirits are eternal, that they go on forever, and that there are a lot of choices to make on the way through, but there are so many gates that are open, so many things that are open to us that we wouldn't have known otherwise.
But before, and you just said the key thing, Linda, what we're going to really focus on today is this concept of eternal progression. It's a concept so vast it's hard to even grasp, but... And we're going to ask the question, is it compatible? Is eternal progress compatible with eternal rest? Because they both sound pretty good. But I think before we do that, honey, we should really make the strongest possible statement, which is that these additional things or these things that we feel are additional in our faith beyond traditional Christianity to some degree, this is the point I want to make so strongly. They deepen rather than dilute our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make that clear at the outset. They're not things that take us away from Christ or that dilute our belief in Christ or that cause us to be distracted from the most important, the single greatest belief in the world and the single most important and truest belief in the world in our minds, and that is that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and that the atonement and the resurrection is real. So making that as clear as we possibly can, let us now talk about this idea, this question about the hereafter and about eternal progression, this very interesting phrase. And I think you mentioned, Linda, that one of the things that's unique about our view of eternity is that it goes forever backward as well as forever forward.
Right, exactly. That we started before we came here, maybe eons, we don't know, but we don't want to get into too much depth today, but we do want to say that we are so excited about the fact that we can continue progressing forever in ways that are phenomenal, and that there are ways to not progress if you decide you don't want to progress any farther. But it is really phenomenal that we know some things that help us be better now, here, right now.
Well, and speaking of the pre-mortal existence that we embrace as part of this eternal progression, the beauty of it is that I think is that we believe we are literally children, spiritual children of God, of heavenly parents. We believe in a heavenly father and a heavenly mother, and that we are their children, and we're with them in a place beyond our imagination before this earth. So we believe our beginning was not at birth or at conception, but at a much, much earlier time, and that these loving heavenly parents created this earth with all its options, all its diversity, all its incredible experiences for our education, for our growth. And even the parts that seemed to us to be awful and terrible and unequal and unfair, somehow in the longer scope of eternity, are all for our growth and our benefit.
Right, exactly.
So let us read you a little. This again is following along with the second to the last essay that we've done for Meridian Magazine. And we invite you to go there because we're going to hit the highlights today, but there's a lot more there. And the easiest way is just put Meridian Magazine in your browser. It'll take you right to that publication. And ours is the cover story each weekend, and it's on today, and we're recording on Friday, and it's on today, and we'll be on through the weekend, and it'll have links to the other 10 earlier articles if you want. But here we go, eternal progression. We're going to read you a little and then comment on it.
We hear or say eternal progression so often that we tend to lose sight of its radical significance. It's an essential opposite of the traditional Christian conception of the eternal rest of heaven.
When we do stop and really think about it, eternal progression implies so much that it really deserves all the pondering and all the wondering we can give it, even if it trends toward more questions rather than more answers.
Sometimes our vernacular in our church takes us to an even more radical concept, the audacious belief that as God is, man may become. A belief that gets us labeled by much of Christianity as heretics.
So let me tell you a little story about that. While I was a young 19-year-old missionary in New York City, I once spent what seemed like a whole day trying to defend the idea of eternal progression to a Protestant minister who had told me that this one single, quote, Mormon teaching, as he called it, of being able to grow more like God was enough to ensure him that our church was not from God. And I remember fervently testifying to him that anytime anyone does anything good, even a little thing, that person in that moment becomes slightly infinitesimally more like God, who is good in all things, who is perfect. And I kind of wasted the day because I think he was more convinced than ever that we were heretics. And I wasn't wise enough as a 19-year-old to ask him about his own beliefs instead of trying in vain to get him to accept mine.
Which I think is a problem with a lot of our missionaries.
I do too.
We need them to find more about what other people believe before we start blasting them with what we believe.
So you got an idea where we're going now. We want to try to expand a little bit this idea of eternal progression. And we'll do that after we take a brief break. And keep in mind, as we do, that even though we're going fast and hitting just highlights, you can read an entire essay on this if you wish to. So hang in there.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back, talking about some deep things today, but some really interesting things that we need to think about. You may have your own ideas that pop out from what we're talking about, or and I wish we could have a back and forth conversation.
I do
here,
too.
It's so interesting.
Q&A. But let's read on a little here and comment.
If we really believe in eternal progression, it opens so many possibilities and so many questions, and we begin to understand that each of us is in an evolving, changing entity, and we will all be forever.
And while we may know or understand little of what that eternity entails, we do know the direction of it.
The true progression always points toward and leads in the direction of God, of becoming more like our heavenly parents who we wish for us, who wish for us all that they have. And as we progress, we are participating in the fulfilling of God's goal to bring about the immortality and eternal life of man and women.
Yeah, so wow, does that ever open up a lot of questions? And I don't think we're going to answer them all today, do you, honey?
No, I don't. No, I do not.
But I think we're going to talk about them. And sometimes just answering those questions are pretty interesting and pretty fascinating. So the dictionary, let us go a little different direction. The dictionary says that different in kind, that's an interesting phrase, different in kind. And the dictionary says that means of another sort or falling into a different category. And another definition says everything flows and changes and most of it is unnoticeable and gradual, a change in degree, a quantitative change. But sometimes things can be radically disruptive when these disruptions are not simply more or bigger, but involve fundamental differences. They should be termed change in kind. A change in kind is always a qualitative change. So our question is, in this eternal progression that we're undergoing, are we always changing? I think most would agree we change every day. Little things happen. And sometimes those changes add up to be a lot, but they're changes in degree. We're growing within the realm we're in. We're growing and progressing within our own place and our own body and our own earth and so on. And the question is, are there times in eternity where we make a change or God makes a change for us that is so different, so qualitatively different, that it's really a change in kind? And we believe there are those times.
Well, we experience the tiny little changes. Like, you change when you become a parent.
Right.
Suddenly, the whole world looks different to you. You understand your parents better. You understand who you are and what you can and can't do, and that you want to be better and you want to do better and so on. When we have these big changes in our life, it changes us. But as we go along on our path, a lot of things change us. Inspirational things we read or feel, answers to prayers, hard times, all those things change us.
So let us read some of the questions that we're trying to explore. And we'll just alternate with them. And we're not going to answer all these, but we try to get into some of them in this longer essay that you can read.
Okay, so first, does this progress toward completion and our progression from one stage to another come about through changes in degree or changes in kind?
Okay, next question. I love this one, actually. Is this earth a courtroom or a classroom? Think
that's
about
that. That's an interesting
one.
Is agency the single thing we have that God did not give and cannot take away?
Think about that. Have we always been agents? Have we always had the power to choose, even in this life before birth that we contemplate? And does that make, if it is true that
we don't know that,
that agency, we're asking it as a question. If it is true that that's the thing we've always had, does that make this agency or our will the one thing that we can actually give to God?
I think that one is yes, but that's a deep thought. How does abundant time, so much that there is none,
so much time that there's none in eternity?
That blows your mind. That blows your
when
mind.
When there's no end to time, then there really isn't any time.
But how does it contribute to fairness and the equality of all entities through the eternities?
In other words, you know, if you walked into a stadium and the race was already started and some runners were ahead of others, would you conclude that the race was unfair, or would you conclude that you just got there a little late? And maybe that's how the eternities are. Maybe what looks to us like a wonderful life to one person and an awful life to another is part of their own personal growth. And it's benevolent and from God, no matter what it looks like.
Even those who are going through terrible trials and having lots of children and trying to survive. I mean, it is amazing to think about.
So there's really a lot to try to uncover here. But we want to make a really strong point here about these changes in kind that we're trying to contemplate.
As we ponder that, it's well to remember that changes in kind are additive progressions. We do not give up anything that we had or were as intelligences when we became spiritual children of God. We simply add to what we were, or God added it in many ways to wonderful and beautiful to understand.
We became a new entity, God's spirit children, and that entity included and encompassed what we always had been before that. And of course, in our progression into this mortal world, we retain, we believe, what we had become in this premortal life. So what we're suggesting is that the growth we're undergoing as part of God's plan through very many phases is not a trade-off. It's an additive process. We grow from one to the next. And of course, the big question that all people who believe in God have is, what is the next change in kind? What happens to us when we leave this life?
Which we've contemplated so much this year because you've lost your brother, Chris. And nothing helps more to think about eternity than to have somebody dear to you pass through the veil and go on to the next life.
But here we want to throw out a little thought to challenge you or think about. And it's a tough one. And again, the essay will give you a little more detail. But what about the possibility that we, through marriage, through this one, in fact, let's just back up a little and say, there's lots of relationships that we have in this world. We become uncles and aunts and grandparents and children and siblings and all kinds of extended family relationships. But there's one relationship which we believe can be eternalized through a very beautiful celestial sort of sealing or marriage that we think goes beyond all the relationships between all the other relationships between God's children.
It's a relationship of spiritual creation that makes us powerfully more like our heavenly parents and qualifies us ultimately to live with them and make our families part of their family forever. It involves the combining of male and female and the progressing oneness between them that can make us potentially capable of becoming perfect as exemplified by our heavenly parents themselves.
And of course, that's too far out to imagine. But again, back to the idea that every time we improve in any way, we become infinitesimally a little bit more like God. So I think that's where we want to focus as we end here today, Linda. And let's be a little careful about it, because we have so many friends who are single. Some of them by choice, they want to be single. That's what they'll always want to be. And that's just the way they want to be. And that's their...
And some are dying to be married. Some cannot find the right person.
Haven't found the right person, and so on.
Or did find the right person and now are on their own because of the divorce.
In fact, we have a wonderful son who we mentioned briefly in this article, who is a bachelor and a third grade teacher. We think, I'm just going to say it, we think unquestionably the best third grade teacher on planet Earth.
I thought you were going to say, we think he's safe and he's going to be perfect forever. But anyway.
He's had over 500 students at a pivotal time in their life and changed the direction of their life, I think, in so many cases. And does he feel he'll never get married? No, on the contrary. He believes that he will, and I believe he will. We believe he will. But this has been a time when his singleness has allowed him to pour so much effort into those children, into that classroom, that maybe he couldn't have otherwise. I'm only saying that to make the point that we can't hierarchize, right? We can't say married, being married is better than being single. There are phases. And the beauty of it is we believe in this eternity where everyone who wants to have that opportunity will have it either now or in the world to come. And that's little consolation for someone who wishes they were married right now. But
right.
But if we can expand into that longer view, and that's important to understand that it's always agency, and that all of us are different, and that all of us have different destinies or foreordinations, and it's up to us to find the right one. The important thing we're trying to say in this essay and in this broadcast today is, all will have every opportunity. That's the key. Our belief in this eternal progression and in heavenly parents who want to give us all that they have.
Right. I mean, sometimes we feel stuck in a certain place in life. Our son, I'm sure, has felt stuck as he's tried to find a partner and someone that he can love for eternity. But this, we have to remember that this earth life is just a blink in time, a little blip. And we have so much time to work all these things out. I think sometimes we get frantic because we're not where we want to be, or our children or people we love aren't where they want to be. But wow, when you think about eternity, it is endless.
Now, those of you who've had the forbearance to stick with us through all this sort of wandering, wondering, and wondering is a pretty good word, because we do believe that there is wonder and awe in contemplating the eternities.
And we certainly don't believe we know any of these answers.
Absolutely. But we want to end with something that we think all of you, we hope everyone agrees with, and that'll put us back on sort of the earth, back on the real reality footing that we're on. And Linda reads it so well. So Linda, take those last two little sentences.
Perhaps even in our considerations of forever, our mortal minds are built to snap back to the now. So true. Perhaps we need to balance our feeble attempts to imagine our unending story of eternal growth with daily attention to the moment, to the joy we can feel, the service we can give, and the love we can extend. May we embrace expansive thought with its corollary of focused action and have our faith strengthened by both.
That's our hope for all of us, and we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road.